Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we seek your pure, loving kindness, and we ask that you show it to us in a way that we can know and feel your wonderful love and what an awesome God you are. Even when we are so full of error, I'm still amazed that you love us so much, love me so much, and the rest of us. And it was so much that you put Jesus Christ here, that he came as a sacrifice to die on the cross for my sins and the sins of others. Heavenly Father, thank you for that gift of Jesus Christ. And may I humbly follow Jesus Christ until my dying day, yes, when I get to see your face and hurrah! And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I can only believe that God would like to see every one of us with him in heaven. So to speak, it's heaven. And anyway, there are some people who believe that everyone goes to heaven. But Matthew 7:13 says, "The wide gate leads to destruction, and the narrow gate leads to life." It sounds to me like the road to hell is wide and the road to heaven is narrow. Oh, how we want to go to that heavenly place of eternal life. The Bible says that God does not want any to perish, and that's in 2 Peter 3:9. But as you know, God has given us all free will, and so we have a choice. To do what we want or to do what God wants for us to think and to do. Yes, it's what we want or what God wants. And if we're doing what we want, it means we are separated from the will of God. And doesn't that mean we go to a place of perdition if that's what we do? Well, it's an important question, and so many different people have different ideas on it. But our ideas, they really don't matter. It only matters what God says. So have a look at that. I know that there are preachers who say that you say these words and you will go to heaven. And I think there's truth to that. It's just not completely true. There's other preachers who say that you have to feel it in your heart and then you're saved. And then there's what the Bible says. In John chapter 3, the Bible says you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Transformed is the word I think of. Well, there are plenty of preachers who say, well, lots of things. One thing they say is once saved, always saved. But the Bible indicates that a believing person can become unsaved. And this is a big controversy among people and pastors, because the Bible does also say that there are persons whose names are written in the book of life, but those names can be blotted out. It says that in the Psalms 69:28 and Revelation 22:19. and Revelation 3:5. And that's where the Bible speaks of names being blotted out. That was said as addressed to the Church of Sardis. And it was said that those who walk with me, and that is me, Jesus, they are clothed in white raiment. And so there's a question about that philosophy of once saved, always saved. And theologians, they debate these questions. Pastors do too, and so do believers. Well, there's arguments for both sides, there really are. And I don't want to argue the point, because there are arguments for both sides. But I want to be as sure as I can be for me that my eternal life is going to be in heaven and not hell. So I want to do everything that I can do, everything, to be sure that my eternal life is going to be with Jesus in heaven and not in hell. So I will let other people argue the fine points of this being saved or unsaved and blotted out or whatever the argument is about salvation. The way I view it is I just want to do everything that I can do to be sure that I am with Jesus Christ. And I believe that God can love us all, even when we are disobedient. But his love will not save us from hell. So we want to be sure that we are doing everything we can. I think of James 1:22, where he says we must be doers of the word. And so I think, yeah, let's do what the word says. Let other people argue about what certain things mean. I just want to do the best I know how. That's what I want. And some people want to find a balance point between different views. Well, I think that's, you better be careful about that one, because we're not told to find a balanced point of view. We are told to hold firmly to the Word of God. And that's one of those things about different Bible versions that say things differently too. And it makes a little complication in it when one Bible version says one thing and another Bible version says it a little bit different. Oh, but I do think we're supposed to hold firmly to the Word of God. In fact, that's what Philippians 2:16 is about. And I think I very much like the principle that we want to have what the Bible says as the most important belief that we have. To understand that, to believe it, and to follow it. And therefore, it is important to read the Bible and seek the truth that is in Scripture. I believe we should, every time we read, ask God to show us the meaning that he would have us to have, to let us understand what he would like us to understand. Because we want to do what God says, we want to obey God, and we want to do everything that we can so that our eternal life is in heaven. Yep. It's a big thing to read the Bible because it's a large book, but we can do it. Every one of us can read the Bible, and every one of us can read it in sections even. And if you're ambitious, you can read it several times. Every time you get more meaning out of it. That's what so many people say, and I will verify that too. Well, you have to understand that your position and what you believe is not important. It's important what God's position is and what he tells you. And that's why we want to learn what the Bible has to say. Because God's position is the only one that matters. So, yeah, read the Bible and get an understanding of it so that you can follow it faithfully and well. I know that there's plenty of people who see it a little differently because their particular religion has traditions and they follow the traditions more than the teachings of the Bible. And then there's other people who have a special edition of the Bible and they want to use that and learn what that particular Bible says. Because it is expressing the concepts that they want to believe. And I say, oh, please be careful about this because you want to know the truth and follow the truth. So be careful. Read it, listen to it, and hear what God is saying. I know for me, I strongly favor the King James Version. And the King James Version has a little bit of different language in it. And there's a few words that you have to look up and realize that the meaning is different in the King James than it has been in our life. For instance, a host. When King James says they were surrounded by a host is an armed group of men or an army. And the King James might say that they bid someone, and bid means to ask or to state an argument, maybe. But that's a different meaning that we think of in that word bid. And a husbandman is a farmer. And to be without means to be outside. So there's a few things that are a little different, but we can deal with that. We read books that have a little different meaning also. And sometimes we speak to people from another country, and we have to try to understand what it is they are communicating. That's just ordinary. So when we read a book, we can read it critically too. There's lots of books that we ought to be careful when we read and not just believe everything in them. Those are non-biblical books, but the Bible, we have to search and try to understand, especially the King James Version. But that, I find, is the truest version. So, remember that there are some different definitions that you will have to, I suppose, look up and then realize what the full meaning of those words are. Yes, and God's Word is so very important. Now, if God's Word was written in another language, I think we would learn that. Reminds me of Latin, because the Bible used to be written in Latin, and that's what all the Catholic priests came to read, is the Bible in Latin. So, the point is you want to have an understanding of what the Word of God says, and sometimes it takes a little effort to find that out. And always it takes prayer. So, but think of the goal here. The goal is to love God, to love other people, and to get to heaven, that wonderful place. Yes, and I think that we should keep our behavior clean and pure and our thoughts clean and pure so that we are able to walk with God and for Him to walk with us. And I think that it is a part of our born-again experience to do that. Our born-again experience, it includes turning away from sin and from things that we have done in the past. That's a part of of being born again, as we turn from our old ways, and we live now to please God. That's a born-again experience. And there's so many of us at this time of the year where we are thinking of God, where we are thinking of Jesus, where we are thinking of our neighbor and loving people. So many of us, each day, we want to remember our orientation to loving God and loving other people. And, like I said, this time of year especially, we want to remember our blessings. We want to remember all the things, and a part of that is to praise God in public. Give him thanks. Proclaim the name of Jesus. And talk about his gifts, his wonderful gifts to us. It's wonderful. At this time of the year, I try to avoid every pagan Christmas tradition that there is. And so what we want to do is lift up Jesus Christ as a part of Christmas. And all the while, we do our very best to love people and to be faithful to God. We do the best we can, and let us remember that's what we want to do. The best we can. The very best. No excuses. Just do it. And remember to be faithful to God through Jesus Christ. And sometimes we need a little reminder, and that reminder can be with prayer. That reminder can be with reading the Bible. And it just might be even when we go to church and we see other people who are in the Christian family. I know there's a lot of people who tell you of what you need to do to get to heaven, and that is an important question. But often enough, pastors and preachers, they do have a little bit of different ideas. So I think what the answer to that is you read it for yourself. It's in the Bible. Read it, seek the answers, and then do it. Yep. Do read the Bible. I know it's a little bit long, but it's a good book. And there's so many different things you can learn when you read it. And you want to use the Bible understanding as you live. There's so many examples of people in the Bible that have done well and have done poorly. And we want to be careful about learning so that we can do the best that we can. A lot of people make silly decisions. That's just life. We all make silly decisions. Oh boy, even bad ones. But we make good ones too, even about the important things. The important things might be like, where do you buy a house, or what about choosing a spouse? All these things are important, and yet our judgment's not perfect about what we do. And that's just the way it is. So about our eternal destiny, we want those decisions to be right. What could be more important than the decision between if we go to heaven or hell? We want to get that one completely right. And to get that completely right, it just might take a little bit of study. So get that godly knowledge. Read the Bible. And there's lots of examples in the Bible that we can learn from for practical living about our thoughts and our decisions and our actions. And you know what? We are all responsible, each one of us, for our own thoughts, our own decisions, and our own actions. I think that is shown in the Bible too, because you can see what people do and the consequences of what they do. What I read in the Bible shows me that we are each responsible for knowing God's word and for acting on it. We are each responsible for what we think and what we do. So, and that is supposed to be that we find a place to have that born again experience, that born again relationship with Jesus Christ, and have our heavenly eternal destiny. That's what we want, and then we get to live it. Different ways, in different situations, but the point is we want to live faithfully to God through Jesus Christ. So let's think. Last week I talked a little bit about prophecy and how the United States was in the beginning of a fall next year, and that the winter conditions were going to be severe and they were going to persist. And I told you that I was skeptical of prophecies because there have been quite a few prophecies in the last years that were given, but they have not come about. At least they have not come about yet. And there's still room, there's still time for them to come about. But it makes us all skeptical. So there was this prophecy that I talked about last week, because it lined up with prophecies that I have heard a few years ago, like 4, like 15, like 20 and 25 years ago, that there were prophecies that were said. And I bring it up again right now because there was a question about who were the other people who spoke about those future events, who prophesied that 15 or 25 years ago. And so I wanted to speak about it just for another minute today, that there was Henry Groover and Chuck Youngbrandt, and then there were some other prophetic voices that were along the same line, but not quite the same. Daniel Rhodes, Dimitri Dudeman, and David Wilkerson. These were all very close in the prophetic words that they said, claimed to speak. Well, they said it. And I bring it up again because someone wanted to know who those other prophetic people were. So I'm just mentioning it again as a reason to be cautious, a reason to say these things could come about in short order. That is something we just don't know. The timing. We're still puzzling over the timing of the events that will happen in the end days. So I wondered if this was a true prophecy about the year 2020 as a trigger year. I cannot help but be skeptical about things, and yet I want to talk about it because it just might be true. And with the other prophetic words, it just, again, makes me pay attention. So, another thing that has been a matter of prophecy was, this was again about 20 years ago, more or less, there has been prophecy about people saying that Russia and China would invade and occupy the United States. Some prophetic people have said that they would be invited in to the United States, China and Russia would, because there would be a huge natural disaster, but they would stay longer than they were supposed to. So there's different words that have been said to describe what could be in our future, and I cannot say I believe it, but I cannot say that I don't believe it. It's just something that has gotten my attention, and it's come to get my attention again. So I have to say that this is just something to be aware of. I don't know what else to say about it. Be aware that it's a possibility. Well, nowadays things are happening, and now that I've said the word China, it makes me think of what's going on there, because it's a big concern for a lot of people. And the United States Congress and Senate has passed a declaration of support for the protesters in Hong Kong. And this has made a big problem between the United States and China. China is very, very unhappy that the United States would make a public declaration which supported the protesters. See, in China, those protesters are considered to be terrorists. And this declaration that the United States has made makes the United States, in effect, an enemy of China. Because we are, in their view, supporting the terrorists who are not supporting mainland China. So, it's some other factor. It's another factor to be aware of. It's not good when people don't get along. And this declaration, as well as the ancestral history between the United States and China, has made China really hate the United States even more. It's not a good thing. It could turn into something pretty serious. But we don't know. It's just an indicator, and we can pay attention to it. So I think about Hong Kong. I think about the 20 years ago, or a little more, that Hong Kong was allowed to leave the protectorate of England because it was a colony of England. England had a 99-year lease on Hong Kong, and a number of countries signed the agreement that turned Hong Kong back over to China. The United States was one of the countries who signed onto the agreement, just acknowledging it, as far as I can tell anyway. So China signed it, Hong Kong signed it, I guess England and the United States did too, maybe other countries. The point is that there was an agreement that was made. China agreed to certain things, and China did not fulfill that agreement. And that is a big part of why the United States Congress and Senate have supported the protesters in Hong Kong. That's just one of the factors. Oh, another factor is that Hong Kong has a special trade agreement with the United States. So things can be imported and exported without taxes, without duty. And China may have to pay the taxes and the duties, but Hong Kong does not. So it's a question of being an advantage and a disadvantage that China sees with Hong Kong. It just makes another factor that we have to consider about why things are going the way they are. See, the news media, they only tell us part of the story. But we citizens do not have enough information to make an informed decision. Not about Hong Kong, not about most things. And I think that that's a part of the plan, is to keep the people dumb so that we don't have an opinion and we let other people make a decision for us. And who would that be? Those wise people in government and positions of power. So they are, in a sense, wise, and they are, in a sense, very manipulated. So what we know and don't know has been going on forever. That's just the way it is with the difference between the people in power and the people or the citizens of a country. It's been going on for hundreds of years, and it went on in the 1900s in the United States just as well. You see, in the 1900s, every war that the United States was involved with was not, its causes and beginnings were never reported accurately. And only through history do we know this. When we look back at all the wars, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, the war in Iran and Iraq, Afghanistan, all these different things have, the truth of the situation is not what we were told in the media. And so we have to take a closer look and try to understand reality instead of what we're told. And that's a trouble with the media today. We don't get the whole story. We don't get the real information. It's not popular to talk about the wars being, the United States being manipulated into a war, because people don't want to hear that their family and their friends were maimed and killed because of something that was deceit, because of a lie. And so it's a really hard thing to speak about. And we don't like to be lied to. Nobody does. And the Bible tells us over and over again, be not deceived. So we have to look a little further. It takes study. It takes a diligence. And because I'm a history guy, I have seen these things. I have seen so many things that have been based on lies that have happened, not just in the last 100 years, but in thousands of years. But people don't want to hear that they're lied to. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about 9/11 being a lie, about the buildings going down, it's a tough position to be in when we are really questioning the people in government or even our government that tells us things that are not true. It's a hard thing to really realize that we have been believing a lie, and that our nation is going to have problems because of it. But the problems appear to be, well, chaos coming, because that seems to be the goal of that certain small element in society and in government, that they want to have chaos and despair. Why? Because they want a new civilization. They want to rebuild the whole earth. They say to a better place, but I'm not sure that's true. I think what they really want is to be masters of this world. And when they're creating it, there's a good chance they will get to be a master. But we American citizens get to strive and struggle to maintain our freedom. And a part of the way we do that is with knowledge. We have to study. We have to recognize that there has been patterns all throughout history. And if we're not aware of the patterns, then it's easier to be deceived. So we want to study and seek out understanding. It's the same for our monetary system and our monetary history. See, we can study all these things, and money is one of the things we can study. Money being for trade and to pay taxes. And what is money? Our Constitution says it's gold and silver, and not the printed pieces of papers that can change in value. Oh, it takes some study, but it's our hope to be able to do that so that we are not deceived. We are in a spiritual war, and we have a position where things can change. They can even change rapidly. And what we want to do is to protect ourselves and have no surprises. So study the Word of God. That's the big one. And be secure in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Seek to obey God and let Him protect and provide for us. That's what we want to do. And that's a part of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So always keep that in mind. Keep in mind how you can fulfill that, and you can tell people about their relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And don't worry. No, there are things coming, but don't worry about them. But there's a good idea to get prepared. If we are prepared for the just in case, well, it helps us get through hard times. And people who are prepared, they panic a whole lot less. The prepared people also can give compassion and care to other people because they're prepared. They have something to give. And when you have more than you need, when you have a storehouse, you can give things away. And that's, I think, what we are called upon to do. It's been a pattern, and it's maybe even been a plan that we don't have supplies, storehouses. We don't have extra food. We don't have extra materials. Our whole society is built on a just-in-time philosophy to get things to the store just in time. And so, if the store is out of stock, it can take a week or a month to get things back in stock. That's just the way our system works. And so we want to get prepared before there is some kind of a natural disaster. When a disaster happens, the items in the store quickly disappear. They get sold out in the first day. And then it would take at least 3 weeks to get things back in stock. That's just the way the supply system works. So get a little preparations now. That's what you want to do. Certainly have food, have water, because you don't know when the things are going to happen. When will we actually need them because of some kind of a disaster? We don't know. It could be in a week or a month or a year or a decade. We just don't know. And that's why I say to get your supplies now so that you will have them. You will not have to have any worry because you're prepared. So get your water situation with a gravity flow water filter. I think those are the best kind because they can filter a lot of water and you don't have to work at getting the water out of a pump or something. So the water filter is very, very, very important. And then to have some place to put the water, I think it would be called a 5 gallon water can, or maybe a water tote or something. You can have several sizes so that you can carry some or you can give some away. Yeah, buy it in the 1 gallon containers at the store. That's good too. I think the large 5-gallon containers that are meant to store water, they're very good too. So whatever you choose, get something and get that food put aside. I know I always like grains because the grains last and they last and they last. I think white rice is a very, very good one. That lasts, I can't say forever, but certainly for 50 years, just like the wheat does. As long as the grains are whole, or it's white rice, they just last and they last. And then you want to grind the grain to make bread or to make digestion easier. And you can get all sorts of different grains, but they last for that long, long time if you keep them in their whole grain state. And then you will also get sugar, salt, and oil. Get plenty of sugar, salt, and oil. If there's an emergency, those things are going to be so hard to get. Sugar, salt, and oil, just the basic things that don't cost a lot. And don't forget your grain grinder to make your wheat or flour from the wheat. For the oil, I prefer the non-GMO kind, which is either olive oil or sunflower oil. Just about every other oil is a GMO variety. And then you want to have flavorings, because when you eat that plain old food, you will want to have a few simple, basic flavors. So food, I just get the basic stuff because that'll save your life. And I like the wheat because you can sprout it and you can have the equivalent of a green that way too. Well, how much of the supplies should you have? That's something which we all have to determine for ourselves. Nobody knows how long an emergency will last. Nope, but the grid going down would certainly be long-term, and that's a real, real possibility. About how much wheat? FEMA says that if wheat is your main food, you'll need 275 pounds per person per year. In a way, that's a lot, and in a way, it really isn't. One 55-gallon drum full of wheat is about 275 pounds. And then you will want sugar, salt, and oil, and flavorings, and vitamins, and a propane stove, and a cast iron pot. It's just all a matter of you get to decide what those very basic needs are. You get to figure it out. Are you going to be only you, or are you going to be sharing with your friends and your family? It's a big question. I cannot have the answers for you. You have to search them out for yourself. It's something that only you can figure out. Only you can have an answer to. And in these days, when it is this celebratory time of year, we have so much food and so much feast all around us. It's hard to even think of not having enough food for us. But in other parts of the world, not having enough food is pretty common. And there are reasons to say that the crop yields have gone down just in the last weeks. People are starting to notice that because of the flooding earlier this year, because of the cold coming at this time, like it pretty much does, but it's affecting the crop yields. And so will there be famine? Well, I wouldn't say that. But you get the supplies while they're available. You get things that you can eat when you're hungry. And sure, it might not be the very best meal that you could have, but it is food, and we can get it, and we can be thankful for it. Like I said, this time of year is a time when we have feasting. We have so much food. It's hard to think of not having enough. But there's a lot of people who don't have enough food in the world, and even in this nation a lot of people don't have enough food. So make wise decisions. Get your storehouse of supplies. Have some extra things for the just in case. And sure, it might not be what you would want to have next week, but it's something that will last and last. And if you're hungry, food is really, really good. Yeah. We could have all sorts of things happen. Oh, and speaking about the prophecy thing, there have been prophecies that have gone on for 20 years to say that there will be, let's call it hunger in this nation and in the world. And even the Bible talks about it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the three Gospels, they talk about at the end of days that there will be famine and earthquakes and pestilence and earthquakes. So preparation is a good thing. Even as we are in this season of Thanksgiving and Christmas, and people don't really want to hear about the difficult things, but you can use this time to get a few gifts that might be practical. And one of those practical gifts could be a manual grain grinder, a mid-grade one, not the best, not the cheapest, but get a manual wheat grinder and a few hundred pounds of wheat. Right now, it's not that expensive, but if there is a time of hunger, yes, it will get extremely expensive. Food prices have been rising, and that's just a condition of the way it is right now. But right now, food is still available. So I say get some. And get your water filter. Storing water is good, very good. But I say get a passive or gravity water filter. There's a couple of them on the market. And it's so much easier to get one that you put a gallon of water in overnight, and the next morning you have drinkable water. The other kind that are a sucking, like through a straw, or a pump that you have to pump to get the liter of water, they're good too. It's just that it takes quite a bit of effort if you're thinking about drinking a half a gallon of water every day. It's a lot harder to get than if you just pour in a gallon of water at the top of something and you get clean water on the bottom. So remember the things about preparation, and remember that you want food, water, and warmth. Those are kind of the basics of what everybody needs to survive. And warmth is first clothes, and then it's shelter. So think about it, make a plan, and then do something. Our government has plenty of disaster plans, and it takes care of the upper echelon of government. You can do your own preparation plans and have food and supplies for you and the people you love. Remember that the agencies and the government do not have any supplies of food or anything to hand out and give away. Their warehouses are not full. They do have warehouses to store things in, but they actually don't have any supplies. No food, no water, no nothing. They have to buy them. And if you are buying a lot of food and water in one place, it means another place might not have enough. So just think about what you might need for your just in case. And again, you don't know how long the just in case period of time will last. Will it be weeks, months, or years? Nobody knows. But there is talk about a 3.5-year time period. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Joseph's famine, the famine of Egypt that Joseph helped people survive through, that lasted 7 years. Patterns repeat. And it could be another time of long distress. But who's to say what it is? Not me. I don't know, but we have to see what is going to come to our nation. Will we have blessing? Will we have distress? Well, are we following God? Where does our position spiritually? Where does that lead us? I think it leads us to have a concern, because when you look at how well we're following Jesus, when we're following God in the Bible, oh, there's a lot that we could be doing better, that's for sure. For sure. So I get concerned for the United States, for my neighbors. I get concerned. There are examples in history about how nations have fallen. I think there's so many similarities to ancient Rome, the Roman Empire, I should say, that we may be following that pattern too. There's lots of people who say it's true that we are. And there are people who say that we are following the pattern of ancient Israel. Well, those two empires or nations had some pretty bad circumstances come to them. What could we face? Anything. We could certainly have the calamities that are described in, again, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Earthquakes, famine, disease, and more. Who knows? But the thing is we want to be prepared and have some supplies for us and for our family and for others. We want to be prepared and ready to share with other people who are in need. So you consider all these things. I think it's important to remember that we are getting these things on behalf of God, and that we want to share on behalf of God. Have that compassion, have that love for other people, our neighbors, and hurting people. And so we have supplies. We can give away when we have extra. If we don't have anything extra, it sure is difficult to give things away. So that's what I say, get your storehouse. Get things that are more than you need. And remember to have good, lovely thoughts, because that's a part of it too. This is not gloom and doom. It's a matter of looking at what is coming, in all likelihood anyway. You can see the scientists agree. You can see the Bible agrees. And so it's reasonable to say that these are the kind of things that are coming to our land. All the while, we want to show our love for people. And that's what we're supposed to do. Love God and love your neighbor. There's so many people who, even now, these days, need help. And we have to figure out how to do that. What I'm doing now, though, is I am shouting out a warning, because I see the conditions that could come about to bring some really, really big difficulties here. And the biggest thing we can do is get prepared with preserving our life and the life of others to serve God. That's why. So remember the good things too. There's lots of good things in life, even in the midst of troubles. There's plenty of people in other lands who want the United States to have some difficulties so that they are thankful and appreciative of all that we people in the United States have. I know it's hard to believe it, but there are people who think that that would be a good thing for the United States, to go through a hard time. You can't wish a hard time on anybody, but I do recognize that there is value to going through difficult times. And we see so much that is going on in the United States that is deteriorating. So maybe we will have some pretty big events and decay happen in the United States. Certainly, we would have them because our spiritual condition is not what it could be, not what it used to be. We are losing our connection with God and Jesus Christ. So, certainly things could happen. And we want to renew our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And we do that more when we're having troubles and we're pleading with God to give us something, to help us. And so that's an advantage of hard times, even though not a one of us want them. Well, we want peace and prosperity, and that's a pretty interesting catch line, isn't it? When people cry peace and prosperity, then sudden destruction shall come. Oh boy, and that has been cried out plenty in the last 10 and 20 years. Suddenly. Who knows what suddenly is? Are we looking at the biblical definition or our concept of what is suddenly? Well, we need God, that's for sure. And we want to embrace things which are of God and reject things which are not of God. That is what we really, really want to do. And the Bible helps us to see it, to know it, and to understand it. So read Scripture. Read it the way it is, and not changing it, because Scripture is supposed to change us. We're not supposed to change Scripture. Yeah, so read Scripture, get a basic understanding, and then live it. Live it for God through Jesus Christ. So remember, soon will be Christmas. It is the Mass which celebrates Christ. Christ Mass. And so we want to remember all the good that we can, and also be cautious for the rest of the things. Fear not, and have joy. Well, thank you for listening to Christ Today. And remember that you can listen to this or any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. And that's all lowercase and no spaces, or another website comes up. So, remember you can also get my free preparedness pamphlet by sending me a stamped self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927 for that preparedness pamphlet. And thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your donations. And both are appreciated. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.